Using the Groupon app, you can save up to $100 a week on what you do every day, like haircuts. Because even if you don't need a haircut, you're eventually going to need a haircut. Unless you're bald, in which case Groupon can save you a lot of money on skincare. The point is, using Groupon can save you up to $100 a week. Getting a massage? Check Groupon. Mani-pedi? Check Groupon. Looking for nearby yoga classes? Use the top-rated Groupon app to save up to $100 a week on what you do every day. Download the app and save. Groupon.
What's going on? Victor Cruz here, and you're listening to The Victor Cruz Show.
And I'm just here, I guess. This is PR.
PR's also here. I'm sorry. PR's also here.
You know what? We're not going to do this. You know what? I'm going to do the plug they asked us to do on Winner's Circle Media, and I'm out of here.
Being that I'm the only professional on this show, I'm going to start it. This is the Victor Cruz Show. It is solely my show. PR just happens to have a seat in here in the studio.
Just happen to be here, man. Happy to be here.
And we're excited to be here. Camp has just closed for the New York Football Giants, although we are still in a very similar camp schedule. We just finished out. I think we had a good camp. A couple injuries early on, which you never want to see. But
it's, how long was camp? Like, how long?
Camp was legit, like, almost a month.
Ooh.
And the players obviously aren't thrilled about it, especially when you play in other teams and they're like, we broke camp a week ago. And you're like, wait, what?
How much of that is Coach Coughlin? How much is that old school Coach Coughlin?
All of it.
I'm sure.
All of it. He wants us to be prepared. We're out there still full pads in the sun. He wants us to be prepared for those long barn burner games where we got to go the distance. You know what I mean? So I can't blame him for it, but
old school. Let me ask you this. This year, and I don't know, and maybe you know the answer to this, maybe you don't. It seemed like there was a lot of, maybe more than in the past, inter-squad practices. I know you guys have them with Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Is that normal that that happens every year? Was there more this year? Was it that it was televised? Like, what?
I think it was because it was televised. It happens. It's pretty frequent every year. I mean, the Giants, the last time the Giants did it, I believe, was like 2006. And they did it with the Jets. And as you can imagine, that didn't end very well. So it got cut off pretty early.
You bring up a great point. There was mad fights this year at camps.
A lot. But that always happens. That's just because it's in your face now. It's televised. That happens. I mean, it happens within the team as well. You go in camp. Everybody's going. You know, you got guys going against each other in camp for their lives. These are for families to put money on the table.
Great point.
You know what I mean? So you gotta understand these guys are out here trying to get it. You know what I mean?
Now listen, I understand, and you and LeBron actually do a very good job of this in your respective sports. You talk about the sport being a brotherhood, right? And obviously Absolutely. It's competitive. Obviously everybody wants to win. You know, it's all about the championship. And like you just alluded to, it's about at the end of the day putting food on your family. This is a job for you. And it's one thing, I don't know if we've ever even talked about this. You always say, like, I'll ask you what you did today, and you say, well, I just left work, or I'm on my way to work. You don't even call it, like, practice. You say it's work. Like, I'm on my way to the office, right? Yeah. Take it like a business. So I don't expect you to talk badly or poorly of anyone, but what is your thought on some of the dust-ups we saw? We saw Dallas had a big one. We saw, you know, some of these camp fights or brawls that have broken out.
I think it's tough, man. I mean, I get the aspect of, you know, testosterone levels are high. You know, you're competing at a very, very high level. And I get, you know, things are going to happen. I get that. But I think once, you know, the shoving happens, you let that out, and then you're done. You know what I mean? You understand it's just within the game of football. It's not like you dislike him professionally, personally. You know what I mean? It's just part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a little bit, you know, I got a little overboard this year, in my opinion. Like, the Dallas one was crazy. Like, guys were just holding arms down and, like, it's gotten out of hand. And the Houston Texans against the Redskins one was crazy. That was on HBO.
Yep.
So, like, these things are crazy, man. And it's got to be nipped in the bud. And Coach Coughlin was very adamant about when we went down to Cincinnati and practiced against them, he didn't want any fighting. Like, he literally looked at all of us individually in the eye and was like,
prior to even the practice.
Prior to going there. During the team meeting at the end of the practice, he looked at us and was like, I don't want any of you guys fighting at this game or at this joint practices, or you will be escorted off the field immediately.
And you know that man doesn't say a word he doesn't mean.
Absolutely. Neither does his security. Because they will yank you off that field immediately.
Hey, you know, I don't remember where I was when the Dallas fight happened. Remember I texted you, though?
Mm-hmm.
I said, promise me one thing. Mm-hmm. Remember what my text said?
Just keep that helmet on, man. You're going to get into a fight, man.
I said, yo, promise me one thing, brother.
But I never understood that. Why are you taking your helmet off? The opposer has his helmet on still.
Mm-mm.
Like, I just don't understand. But this, not for nothing, though, there's something that, you know, when guys get punched in the face and things like that through the helmet,
mm-hmm.
there's something, it messes with your pride a little bit. It may not have hit your jaw directly, but you're like, he had the audacity to throw two blows in my direction. Like, it's very real.
Hey, one of the greatest, I don't know how we got to the fight topic, one of the greatest football, because you know, there's not many great football fights because you're wearing pads and helmets. One of the greatest fights, was it Deion and... Was it Andre Rison?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember that. That
was Deion, they hooked off, left, right.
But think about it. Those are two guys at the top of their position at the time. Both of them killing it. You have a joint practice against each other or something along that nature where competitive juices are flowing. Deion being the ultimate competitor. And anyone who knew Andre Rison, he was the ultimate competitor. So that's going to happen. You know what I mean?
Very true.
And former teammates.
And former teammates in Atlanta, right? It's
probably over a chick.
Come on, yo. Deion probably looked that left eye the wrong way.
Yeah, it happens. So before we move on from this topic,
okay.
Obviously everybody wants to know the question that you probably haven't been asked yet, you know. You probably haven't been asked this all training camp. How are you feeling? How's the knee feeling? When are you back? All that good stuff. Can you give your fans, not mine, because it's your show, you know, a little update on your status?
I'm feeling good. The knee is 110%. I kind of tweaked my calf a couple weeks ago, about two weeks ago now, and I'm just rehabbing that, and it's getting stronger, but, you know, calves are risky, and they're easy to come back. If you come back at the wrong time or you think you're fine, you really want to take your time and really take care of it and make sure it's good. But I feel confident I'll play in the opener, but it's all up to the training staff and see how we progress. But we'll see how that goes. But I feel good, man. I'm in there every morning getting treatment on it, making sure I'm ahead of the curve, icing it as much as possible. So it feels good. I'm still confident on week one.
Dope. Yo, can we talk about, you know, everybody's really excited about you and Odell finally getting on the field for an extended amount of time and the terror and the damage you guys will do in the league. I may be just as excited for, like, you guys off the field and some of your commercials, man. How fun was that? Like, talk about that a little bit.
Yo, super fun. Yo, shout out to Odell first. I just heard he got the Head and Shoulders deal handed down from Troy Polamalu.
Oh, dope. Dope.
Who actually was in the commercial spot with Odell passing the torch kind of thing. So shout out to O for the Head and Shoulders joint. But the Foot Locker spot that him and I did together, as well as the NFL Network spot that was also equally as funny. It's been fun, man. I mean, him and I, like, that's like my little brother. So, like, whenever we're on set, we keep it cool. We're laughing. We're joking. And luckily these scripts kind of, you know, are indicative of our personalities in our relationship, so it's cool, man. We get to go out there and have fun for a little.
Nah, that's dope. And it came across. I saw the Foot Locker one. I think you sent me the NFL Network one.
Mm-hmm.
And the comment I made to someone that asked me about it was like, "That's Vic. Like, that's his humor. Like, you're just, you know, people sometimes, like, you know, athletes pedestal. Like, that's you. Like, you're just funny. That's your type of humor." So, shout out to Jed, our boy from Foot Locker.
Shout out to Jed.
But it's been dope to see kind of even Odell's growth off the field. You know, Beckham's growth off the field in terms of just, I mean, you're already a pro at this and you've been doing it for years now. So it's been kind of cool. Hard pivot, as Eric, our producer, would call this. VMAs. Did you see any of it?
I caught the important part. I missed the Nicki Minaj Miley episode.
It got real.
You saw it?
Yeah,
what was that about?
It got real. Apparently, Miley may have said a thing or two in the press leading up to the show.
I saw that.
And Nicki won an award. Don't quote me on what it was. It may have been like Video of the Year or something like that.
For Anaconda, right?
Yes, for Anaconda. And, you know, it was funny because Nicki, you know, someone said on Twitter, all of her personalities accepted the award. Like, she went up there and was kind of like, you know, did all the stuff, thanked this person, thanked that person.
She thanked her pastor.
Thanked her
was
pastor.
That real?
Yes, thanked her pastor. Wow. And in the next breath, so she thanked her pastor, And I'm home like, you know what? Showing growth, man. Like, thanking her pastor and this and that. And the next breath, she said, now I'm going to send it back to this bitch that's been talking all this shit about me in the media. You know, Molly, what up? But, like, gave her the, you're from Patterson, you know the, like, yeah, what up.
Like, with like, the neck movement.
Yes, like, when you ask what up, you're ready for whatever comes back your way.
You ready to rock and roll? You came in ready for the whatever the outcome was.
Molly, what up?
Wow.
Molly did the, you can't see me, but she did electric boogaloo, she did the moonwalk out of that hard, you know. Nikki, don't let, you know how the media be, Nikki, and it, she wanted no parts of that.
Wow.
No parts of it. Yeah, she kept it all the way hood, man. It was interesting. You hear about Kanye's...
I did catch that.
Speech, I guess I'll call it?
I did catch that. Interesting. Interesting to say that. But that's Ye. I mean, you can't expect nothing less from Ye. You know what I mean? I did think the presidential campaign at the end was a bit far-fetched. But you never... Again, with Ye, you never know.
Kanye in 2020.
Does he have your vote?
Listen, I'm not going to discuss my political issues. You have to tune into my podcast.
Are you a liberal?
RWTW, the podcast. That's my show, actually. We can discuss that and other things. I'm not going to discuss it on this show. He would not have my vote, though.
Okay.
You can't have an emotional
president. For the obvious reasons.
You can't have an emotional president. You know what I'm saying? So what he did with Nike, didn't do what he wanted to do. Imagine, like, another country or something like that.
Got a point.
That wouldn't be good at
He'll
all.
He'll be dropping bombs on people. Yeah. Like left and right.
I will say this. Someone that surprised me, The Weeknd's performance surprised me. And
really?
All everyone remembers from that is Kanye dancing and doing his thing. But The Weeknd's performance surprised me in terms of, like, you know, he's like a pop star now. Like, he's, and I mean that, like, in a dope way. Like, he's a star. Like, I think everyone's known about him behind the scenes and kind of coming up. But he, you know, he performed on that big stage.
I think this is the album, and his album is tremendous, by the way. And I think this is the one that kind of starts, he starts to separate himself a little bit and starts to really own that R&B, like, vocal lane. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And he's really been killing it. I mean, granted, the song has probably 7 singles on it alone, and it just flows, and the songs are really monsters.
Speaking of songs, what are you listening to in the whip, like?
So,
which, hold up, remind me. So Vic pulls up on me today, and I don't even see him pull up. I just see him on the sidewalk. So I'm like, oh shit, like, how'd you get here? And I look, and there's only like 3 cars parked on the block. One's like a 1979 Cherokee Jeep. That couldn't be his. The other one was like a 2004, you know,
I think it was a Chevy Cruze.
Yeah, like whatever it was. And then there was this spaceship. By canceling out the other 2 options, I figured out he was in a spaceship. What did you pull up in, man? Can we talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, this really old car, this 2016 RS7. I always wanted a matte black car, so I painted it matte black. Got some tints on it so I can be as discreet as possible when I pull up to do my show. PR is just here. And...
Yo, it looks
can
like
I pull up, can we talk about you? I pull up and you're walking a dog. Like, where'd you get a dog? I leave you. We do a show. I'm over the phone. I'm in camp trying to just get better as an athlete. And you're out buying dogs.
Well, here's my problem with our friendship, I'm going to say.
Okay.
The audacity of you to feel a way about me having a dog you didn't know about when you pulled up in a spaceship I didn't know about. They're both similar colors.
Similar color. Yeah,
I got a dog. I got a puppy who, by the way, is sick.
Just got the puppy.
Yeah,
sick.
Yeah, listen. Do you have any idea what vet bills cost?
Is there such thing as a lemon dog?
I'm not going
to
do this.
To a lemon,
it's too soon. It's too soon. We're not going to do this today. I took him to the vet. The vet was very kind to him.
Very expensive, too.
And then she asked me to check out. Should I just make sure, you know, while we're wrapping up his medication?
Yeah.
Just go to the front desk.
Hit that front desk, you know,
like, yeah. Exit through the gift shop. When they told me how much that cost, I'm like, no, I already bought the puppy. He's mine. I just wanted to pay for his checkup. Like, ridiculous, man. You know, like, I could have probably bought the spaceship.
But
you know,
they say having a dog is like having a baby, like a child.
It really is in that, like... If I want to go out, I want to go to dinner, I want to do something, I got to go home first and walk him and all this stuff. I was talking to a friend the other day, and she asked, you know, like, are you going to go home and walk your dog? I'm like, no, I'm going to get a dog walker. She's like, you do know the purpose of you getting a dog is to actually, like, spend time with him. You can't have, like, your assistant do this and feed him, and your dog walker do that. Like, I was like, yeah, you're right. So, yes, I'm going home, and you know, whatever, whatever. So, as you guys can't see us, but as we're recording the show, we're actually watching the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of the U.S. Open? You're a fan of tennis?
I'm a fan of tennis. I played a little bit when I was younger. No, just recreational. Not like, what do you mean? I went to, my mom put me in the tennis camp when I was younger.
I can't.
We went to Arthur Ashe Stadium. Okay. Got to meet, well, that's not, might not be too excited, but I got to meet Bill Cosby back then. You know what I mean? That was a big deal.
Big deal. It's a different show, but big deal back
big
then.
Big deal back then. Okay. And, yeah, so I'm a fan. I will be going to a couple matches. Hopefully I get to see
this
Serena.
Year?
Yeah, this year.
Oh, nice.
So hopefully I get to see Serena play. I got to see Federer play last year. And I got to see Federer play in the Vapors, the Zoom Vapor.
Oh, dope.
The Jordan joints.
Dope, yeah.
The cement white joints.
That was last year.
That was a moment for sure.
Serena, man, she's so dominant.
It's just crazy what she's doing, man. It's just like, is there anyone right now?
I'm going to be honest. I think, no disrespect to Steffi Graf or Navratilova or any of those greats, I think it's beyond like the tennis conversation. I think, yes, she's the greatest tennis player ever to play the game. Is she the greatest female athlete is the conversation.
Oh, man. You got to put her in the conversation.
Right? Because I'm trying to think.
She's got like 22 mates, like some crazy.
And I don't want this conversation to go left and people take it as a negative. Like, there aren't women out there that have had great athletic accomplishments, but I'm trying to think, who do you even put in the category with her? Eric, jump in if you. I mean, it's female athlete, like, track stars, Jackie Joyner Kersee, those types.
And then we have to also talk about who came before her in tennis, and obviously their cultural impacts before her. Obviously, she's had a huge one too.
Right.
But she's, I mean, she's surpassed, as far as a player goes, Navratilova.
Yeah, 100%.
And Chris Everett, and those were all great tennis players.
She's only chasing, who's she chasing? She's chasing one girl for the most majors, right?
Yeah. I think she's tied now?
We'll look it up.
And,
yeah, but, I mean, you look at the other sports, I mean, you know, who's the best female basketball player we've ever seen?
Does it matter?
I don't know.
The game hasn't been.
Jesus.
No, I said that. Vic can say that. What I'm saying. No.
It doesn't matter. You mean you,
in terms
keep
of
you in context? Does it matter in reference to Serena?
Right.
There hasn't been anyone that's been.
There's been people that dominant.
I got you.
There's been people that have had a run.
Yeah.
It's been great players, dating back to an old dear friend of mine, like Teresa Witherspoon, and what she meant for New York and the WNBA and all that.
Yeah.
There's been who's the girl from UConn that was amazing. Meyer's amazing now. Red hair. Tarassi's amazing. You know, Grindr, what she's doing, she's dunking.
And it's scaled differently because it's a team sport. She's playing an individual sport. Like, it's,
and you have to look at the body of work. She's been doing this for, I don't know how, since she was, what, 18?
Yeah.
She's 33, 34 now. You know, so I just think, and again, no disrespect to anyone else. There's a lot of great athletes out there, male and female, obviously. But I just think her body of work, she's gone beyond tennis, and now she's having a conversation around, is she the best female athlete?
Her body of work is better than some male.
Absolutely.
Some male players.
Absolutely. I can't argue that. Imagine, wow. Putting her in the top 20 athletes.
And then obviously we have these discussions all the time, and we define greatness in different ways, but one of the ways that I think we'd all agree define greatness is, has she raised the bar to another level?
100%.
And the clear answer there is yes.
100%.
The clear answer there is yes.
100%. So shout out to Serena. Keep doing your thing.
Absolutely. You're going to try to get out and see her?
I am. I'm going to try and get out there this week or next week at some point. So we'll see how it goes. But I definitely plan on doing
And you're a fan of sports. So I don't even mean this about you. And you're a fan of New York. But what she's done for the sport, like, she's brought like a celebrity courtside floater, like Anna Wintour is at games and all that. Like, so I think,
even from a culture perspective, like, she's gotten African Americans interested in tennis when that was pretty much non-existent before she touched the court. Like, I wasn't checking for tennis. Little girls in inner cities weren't checking for tennis until she got on board. You know what I mean? So she's done a lot for communities, for the sport, for women. There's so many different layers of the things that she's done that it's just amazing.
Hey, even yours, you know, this wasn't on the docket to talk about, but even your sport has kind of, you know, made some really big news with, you know, women in the NFL. I think you have this, you know, I don't know if she's an assistant coach, an intern coach, whatever the case may be, but Arizona, is it?
Yeah, she's actually working with the linebackers.
which is amazing.
At Arizona.
Like, which is amazing. And then I think...
she's kind of hot.
There was, is she?
I'm not going to lie. And she actually played football herself, like, in, like, a women's tackle league.
Really?
And she was, like, won several championships.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so her body of work is real. They put it up on SportsCenter, and I was like, oh, okay. Like, if there's anyone that's qualified, like, it's her.
That's dope.
You know what I mean?
That's dope. I love to hear that stuff. And then there was a female ref this preseason. I don't know if you saw that.
I did see that, and there's a cool photo of the assistant from Arizona talking to the female ref.
That's dope.
And it was like a dope moment for them.
I thought one of the cooler things, I got to see the press conference from the Arizona coach, the female coach, mm-hmm. and they asked her what this meant to her, and she said, you know, this means the world to me, but more importantly, the effects of this won't be felt for another 10 years because now there's young girls somewhere out there that are saying, oh, like, I can actually be a coach. That's an option for me. Yeah. Same thing with Becky Hammon with the NBA and the Spurs, right?
So that's a bigger option. Deal than people make it to be.
Absolutely.
The Becky Hammon winning the NBA Summer League as a first of all, coaching it, period.
Absolutely.
Is a big deal. Winning it, and not only that, I heard she's like, she like yells at, like, she's a coach. Like, you would think, just, I guess, me being naive to it all, you would think she'd be very passive, just trying to get across to the players. But she's very much, like, in their face. Like, she gets those boys going. You know what I'm saying?
It's one thing I love to say. It's like, basketball is a universal language, right? It's like, basketball's basketball around the world, you know, and it goes beyond, you know, sexes. It goes beyond races. It goes beyond, you know, country lines or whatnot. Like, she knows basketball. Like, she's been a basketball player, a great basketball player at the WNBA level. I got to give major props to Coach Pop, too.
Okay.
Right? Like, just being the first Popovich, just being...
To take that,
yeah,
take
like,
that leap
it's
of faith.
It's one of those, like, it's him, like... And he's handled it, as you'd expect, no different. He's handled it with such class, saying, hey, look, she's a great coach. Just so happy she's a female. Right? But I think even... It's not lost on him or anyone else. Like, the significance, again...
Of course.
What it means for future generations of young girls out there being like, yo, you know what? There's more than the WNBA. I could be a coach. I could be a coach of an NBA team, and... And who's to say that there won't be a female head coach in the NBA one day?
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
It's gotta be great. You have a daughter. That's got to be an amazing feeling.
Yeah. Absolutely. For her to grow up seeing a woman in a position like head coach, like president of the United States, maybe. Like, these are all things that she's going to be reading in her history book. Like, yo, I could do this too. You know what I'm saying? And it's a big deal, man. It's a big deal. And the funny thing is with Coach Pop, there's no one else I think of that would take that leap. Like, when you think of coaches in the NBA...
Yeah, he don't care what anyone else
thinks.
He's
the one that I'd be like, he'd definitely be the first to do it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. I just can't wait for the first time, you know, you have a female ref and she misses a pass interference call and you go to lose your shit. And you wait, you get up from the ground and you look for that flag, man. You don't see it. Let me ask you this. What are you going to do? You go, you feel there was a penalty, you feel... Because normally, here's your thing. You're a very emotional player, and I mean that in a great way.
Mm-hmm.
You wear your heart on your sleeve. There's no guessing how Victor's feeling. There's mm-hmm. no none of that.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do if and when the time comes?
Mm-hmm.
No pass interference call. You get up. You're about to, you know... Have a conversation, we're going to call it.
Which is what I plan on having anyway.
Have a conversation with the ref. And it's a female. Are you going to take your foot off the gas? Or is she going to get it just like any other male ref would?
I mean, she's going to get it. I mean, what am I supposed to say? She's going to get it. Yo, fam. Why did you throw that? He grabbed my entire shoulder blade out of the... Look at my arm. It's out of the socket. Why didn't you call that flag? Where... Do you even have your flag? Where is it?
I cannot wait.
Is it glued to your hip?
It will happen.
You know what I'm saying? Will, but like, listen, she's going to get the same treatment.
Listen, I respect you more for it. You know, you're not sexist. You're going to treat her just like any other ref you would treat.
Absolutely.
I respect it.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you this. So my, you know, we're about to wrap this up shortly, but my Twitter and my Instagram comments have been blown up more than usual the last couple of weeks, all about one topic involving you. I'll give you one guess what that could be.
It's got to be, it has to be something to do with some type of signature shoe.
Bingo. Or
photos that...
No, don't go any further. The shoe.
Yeah.
And it's something we've alluded to in previous shows. How much can you talk about? How much can you not talk about? Obviously, it's kind of out there. And you know, I last we checked, there's like release dates out there.
Yeah, man.
There's actual styles out there.
There's obviously some things to go back to Nike with, but yes, I have a. You know what? I have a signature shoe. It's with Nike. The first colorway is red.
Ooh.
This is the first time that that's announced, so that there's that. And
so let's stop there.
There's no release date yet. I don't know where they got these dates from. I don't know anything. So yeah.
Let's hard stop there for a second.
Okay.
Victor Cruz, Paterson, New Jersey, working class family, UMass, undrafted. You know, had to earn his way on the team. Depth chart.
Man.
Yeah, I'm going through it right now. You know, all the way up to captain of the team, you know, Super Bowl rings, injuries, comebacks. You have your own shoe. And it's not a PE. It's not a shoe that has your, you know, your initials on it and your number. Mm-hmm. No disrespect to anyone that has that, because that's an accomplishment within itself. But you have your own shoe. Has that hit you yet?
I think it hit me just now. I think the way you just elaborated on that, I think it hit me just now. But it's super surreal, man. I mean, just to be able to make a shoe from scratch with the company that I've dreamed of doing things with my entire life, it's just an amazing, amazing feeling, man. I literally look at the photo every day and I see these photos that come out and I'm just like, man, people, and not only is it, you know, a shoe, but people like it. My people are blowing my phone up about it and I don't even know what to tell them. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm so upset that it leaked, but then LeBron told me something cool. He was like, yo, if your sneakers don't leak, that means they're not checking for them. That means they're not hot. And if they leak, that means people want them now, fast.
You remember you sent me a video of the shoes when they got to your crib,
mm-hmm.
a couple of the samples, and mm-hmm. I happened to be with LeBron. We were in Toronto, and I showed them to him. He didn't even say they're hot. He didn't even say nothing. He was like, 16, fam. Yeah, just let pick. No, he'll know what to do with the number. Size 16. He'll know what to do.
Absolutely.
You know, like, so to me, that's always like the litmus test. It's like,
nah, he's on that list, man. You know, you guys are on that list. I got to get everybody taken care of, but
I saw you. I was here when you tried it out. Remember when you tried it on and you didn't want to take it off?
I kept looking at it and I couldn't take it off. I still can't even wear the thing, but it's all right.
Nah,
it'll be a time and a place. We're going to debut it in a very, very special way.
Where's that rank in your accomplishments?
Oh, it's got to be. I mean, next to having a daughter and next to winning a Super Bowl.
Wow.
That's right. That's right. You think about all the great players that played the game of football at a high level that got not just a shoe, but a lifestyle shoe. That, you know what I mean?
Very
like
cool.
that's a big. The last person I can think of that, and these shoes weren't even a lifestyle shoe. They became a lifestyle shoe because, you know, the inner city kids picked it up.
21.
The
Dion, yeah.
The Dion Primetime shoe was by far one of the big. I mean, Barry Sanders shoe did some things, and you know, you got some Bo Jackson obviously did some things, but.
But even to your point, those were like on-field shoes
exactly.
or like training shoes. Yours is a lifestyle
shoe. This is
shoe.
A complete lifestyle shoe, what you will wear when you go out on a Saturday night with your significant other, what you will wear with your boys when you go out at night on the town. This is what you want to have on your feet. I feel like I'm pitching the shoe right
nah,
now.
Nah. So the last thing I'll ask, and speak on the stuff you can speak on. I know you can't give too many details, but how involved were you in the process of creating the shoe?
I was extremely involved. I asked them what tooling I can use, which is kind of what outsole you would use with Nike. I used materials. I asked them what I can and can't use. How should we have the laces? And we went very, it was very much a give and take. It wasn't just me dictating. It was them, look, we want to do this. Okay, that's cool. I like that. Let's do that. Or, you know, let's not do that. I bring things to them. So it was very much back and forth. So I was, man, it was just, it was a dream come true, and to physically have them would be even better.
No, I can't wait. I'm excited, you know, for the official launch and just to see the reaction in the streets when they hit the streets. I mean, I think they're going to be an atomic bomb. So I'm a fan of Nike's. I'm kind of a fan of yours as my brother. So I expect it to be huge. yo, you know, you're one of those few players now that have the pressure of, like, people going to be watching you, like what cleat are you wearing? Like,
yeah.
People going to be checking you. Are there any, is that in the works at all? Like, anything special, anything people should be looking out for? What can you speak on in terms of on-field?
On-field.
What are you excited
about? I'm working on some things. I can't.
That's normally his answer to me. When I ask him something he doesn't want to answer, the answer's normally, you know, I'm working on some things. You know, that's his way of telling me he doesn't want to answer.
No, I'm working on some things.
You see?
Okay, so things are in the works. All right, I just had to reword that. So things are in the works, and you just have to stay tuned to see what I rock on the field. But it's going to be special. We got a couple different PEs in the works, so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Dope. In closing, this show.
My show.
Closing your show. Okay. My apologies.
All right, cool.
I'm just here. The doc. I just saw a little bit of footage, and obviously we can't speak on it too much, but how surreal is that, seeing footage of your own documentary?
You know what? I grew up watching documentaries and watching different guys' documentaries, and kudos to guys like Kobe Bryant, who just had an amazing documentary, mm-hmm. the Allen Iverson one, which was amazing as well. You know, all these different documentaries. To have one of my own that people will not only watch whatever air date it comes out on, and have it be on demand, like have it be available for everyone forever, is something that is just truly special to me, to give people an inside look at my life and the things that I do and how I, you know, tackle life on a daily basis. I mean, yes, it's about the return, and yes, it's about my injury and returning from that, but it's more so about life as an NFL athlete, as a, I guess, a popular NFL athlete. I hate talking about myself like that, but a somewhat popular NFL athlete, and what they go through on a daily basis with a family, with a daughter. Like, this is real. This is me. This is really me. You're getting it right there in your face. So
I love it.
It should be good.
I
love it.
I think it's going to be, I mean, I'm excited to see it. The little bit I've seen that you've shared with me looks, here's another thing, like, the story's great. It's shot beautifully too. It's like a piece of art. Like, it's gonna be really, like, just the music behind it. It's just all, like,
absolutely.
It's gonna be great. I can't wait for you guys to be able to see that. I can't wait to see it. We gotta do something for, like, the release of it or something.
Oh, that's already it out. It's already planned.
Okay.
It's already in the works. And for all the people that hit me up on Instagram and Twitter for RWTW hats, please just go to RWTW.com.
He did. This is a true story. This wasn't planned. He texted me the other day. He goes, yo, it's RWTW.com, right? I said, yeah, why? He goes, dude, he's like, people are hitting me up crazy. Like, good. Okay, I'm good. I'll take it from here. Like,
crazy.
Good.
So, RWTW.com. Go get a hat. Go get a there's some other stuff in the works that I can't reveal just yet, but it's going to be moving. It's going to be moving. Go to that website. Check it out. And stay tuned.
Yo, let me ask you this in closing, man, and you may not be able to answer this, and it's the last thing I'm going to ask you, but we didn't plan this. We script probably three things we're going to talk about, and then we just start the show recording and talk about whatever the hell we want to talk about, and normally don't even cover the three things we scripted. I'm sitting here, I'm listening to you talk, and we've covered, you know, your sneaker, your doc, and as I look back at it, you know, some of your how old are you now?
I'm 28 years old.
You're 28. You're a young 28. You know, so you're not even 30 yet. And you have, I'm just literally writing this
list.
Yes. Okay. You have a beautiful, healthy daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You play for your hometown pro team.
Go Giants.
You have a Super Bowl ring. You have a book.
By the way, I have a book. It's called Out of the Blue. I don't know if you guys have heard or not. You can go pick it up at your local, Barnes & Noble's, Amazon.com. It's available there just recently. It's even available as an iBook. Did you know that, PR?
I walked right into
it's
this.
An iBook.
I did not. I know this now.
Again, it's called Out of the Blue. It's an autobiography, which means it's directly from me. No sugarcoating, no half-assing. It's all me in there.
We're just gonna pitch Vic
up a copy.
We're just gonna pitch, you know, Vic stuff, Vic projects, the show.
New York Times, bestseller.
Eric, don't encourage him.
New York Times.
Don't encourage him.
There's also a children's edition with bigger words. I'm sure you guys have young children that you would like to read the story.
No, but in all seriousness, man, 28, you're a beautiful daughter. Play for your home team, pro football team, Super Bowl ring, a book, your own sneaker, and a documentary coming out, man.
Jesus.
that's 100 lifetimes for people. Like, I know the answer. I know that hasn't hit you yet, just the magnitude of it. Like, what's next? What are the goals, man? Like, what are you... And if you don't know the answer, that's fine, too, but just...
No, the goals right now... So here are my short-term and long-term goals, right? Short-term goals right now is to continue to build the foundation, the Victor Cruz Foundation, that's geared towards STEM programming for inner-city kids, for all kids, not just inner-city kids. We're starting there, but we want to spread to everyone. That's the short-term goal, is to continue while continuing to build my brand and things that I'm doing individually. But the main focus is continuing to build that foundation. Long-term goal is to continue to be a dynamic football player on the football field, a tremendous father, and to continue to just do things that are off the beaten path, to continue to open doors for other athletes and other football players, basketball players to go through. And that's definitely the long-term goal.
Listen, man, you're well on your way. You know, I was going to list my accomplishments, but like we're running long on time. So maybe we'll just do that next show.
Next time.
I just got a bunch of accomplishments, and I don't...
Okay.
It's not really about me. It's your show.
Because I listed yours and the
page. Listen, so we don't have a lot of time.
There's nothing
We don't have a lot of time. We're going to wrap this. My brother, always good to see you. Always good to spend time. We're going to try to get another episode in before your first game back, which is exciting, and that's a whole separate conversation. But glad you're feeling well. Glad you're excited about the season, and it's almost that time again, man.
Yeah, man. We're a week and a half away.
You ready?
I'm ready.
No better way to end it, my brother.
I'm ready.
Victor Cruz Show with the man himself, Victor Cruz, and this is PR, and I'm just here, man.
Thank y'all for tuning in, man. We appreciate it. Victor Cruz signing out. PR is just here.
Peace.
Why join the U.S. Army Reserve? Sure, you'll be eligible for medical and educational benefits, but the Army Reserve offers much more. What most people don't realize is that the Army Reserve plays a vital role in the success of the U.S. Army by bringing new skills and perspectives to our nation's defense. Army Reserve soldiers help lead efforts in over 100 occupational specialties drawn from real-world experience, like law enforcement, medicine, and engineering. They learn skills and gain leadership training that gives them an edge in the nation's defense and in the civilian job market. When you join the Army Reserve, you're contributing to the safety of your community and country. Continue toward your personal goals while making a difference. Become part of the team, part-time, all soldier. Learn how at GoArmyReserve.com.